Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 27th of January, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul's continuing our series looking at being just like Jesus with a heart of compassion. The reading is Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. We'll hear the reading and then Paul will start the sermon.
Matthew 8. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of, that Moses commended as a testimony to them."
The faith of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour.
When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, we've looked at the amazing, awesome, wonderful heart of Jesus. And today we're going to look at the heart of Jesus in another way. We've looked at the heart of Jesus that's loving and forgiving. The heart of Jesus that's listening, the heart of Jesus that's led by God. And today we look again at the heart of Jesus, this time the heart that's full of compassion. And how bluntly he calls you and me to have a heart that's similarly full of compassion. If we stop and think about it for a minute, if we think just for a second about the compassion that Jesus has for the world, for you and I, we would discover, I believe, not that Jesus just has a heart full of compassion, but that he has a heart full of overflowing compassion. Amazing, awesome, unbelievable compassion. It's a heart that looks at me and says, as he did this morning, "Yeah, it's okay to do the cornflake thing because I want to play. And I know you. And I know the good bits about you, Paul, and I know the bad bits. I know your flaws and your failings. Not the pretend Sunday best you. Have you got one of those? You know, we put the good clothes on. Lorraine this morning said to me, put the jumper on that doesn't have the stain on the front. You know, that sort of Sunday best person. But the one of you that's got all the flaws and the failures. And knowing the very depths of who you are, Jesus loves you still the same, reaches out to you, listens to you, leads you, has compassion upon you. his compassionate heart even reaches out to those that crucify him, as he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." How deep must Jesus' compassionate heart be if when people are crucifying him, he still has compassion for them? His compassion is real and effective, and no matter what sort of compassion, and in our Bible reading today, there are three amazing stories that speak of that compassion. Now, many at that time were clamoring for Jesus to touch them. Many wanted to reach out to him and have him reach out to them. And here in Matthew, we have, in one sense, three different accounts that show how Jesus' compassion reaches people through touch. Let me show you what I mean. In the first story, Jesus touches the leper, a social outcast, to show how he accepts him as part of society again. In the second story, Jesus never touches the servant. Yet, he speaks of the centurion's faith that declares Jesus only needs to say, and the servant will be healed. No touch is necessary. In the third story, although it would appear he wasn't asked specifically by anyone that we know of to heal Peter's mother-in-law, his comparison was so great that with one touch he healed her. They're amazing stories of touch. But they also show you something else. If Jesus does not need to touch the leper to heal the leper, even to heal him of all the social ills, then he does so from choice, because he's doing the Father's will. When, friend, was the last time you touched a leper through choice? And in all these three cases, whether he physically touches them or not, Jesus' great compassion touches their hearts. They'd be changed forever. Even Peter's mother-in-law. And for those of us that married, yes, I know it's difficult to imagine a mother-in-law that ever changes. But the reality is, this mother-in-law changed because she found and knew Jesus. And Jesus touched people mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. He touched people, like the leper in our Bible story. But also, Jesus was touched by people. Think of the woman that touched the hem of his garment. He knew he'd been touched. And more than that, Jesus is seen in Scripture to invite people to touch him, even touch his resurrected self. Think of what happens in John chapter 20. Jesus invites Thomas to touch him. And we see Thomas's response in verses 27 and 28 of John 20, where it says, "Then he says to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believing.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" And this morning, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, his invitation for you this morning is to reach out and touch, and he'll be there. It was that very invitation to touch him that led to Jesus being able to say to Thomas, "Stop doubting, believe." Having a heart full of compassion, just like Jesus, is being prepared to reach out, and touch is vital. If we want to reach out, friends, to those that are being trafficked, it is not a lot of use to say, "I'll do everything I can for you from the confines of my walls." We have to reach out and touch and be prepared to be touched. That's compassion. Interestingly enough, this is what happens when Jesus touches the leper. For the leper, his touch changes everything. And here you can see Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and said, do you see, Jesus touches the leper before he heals him. It's not as if he heals the leper and then all of a sudden he touches someone that's unclean, that's now clean. Can you see? He touches the unclean. He dares to reach out. And interestingly, again, Scripture says, can you see on the screen? I hope you can. Jesus touched the man. Not Jesus touched the leper. And before he ever healed the leper, Jesus saw the man and touched him. Awesome, amazing words. As Jesus breaks this man's isolation and loneliness by a touch. Friend, if you disagree with me, come find me later, but everybody in Minehead needs that touch. Everyone. My question to you is, how many out there need your touch to break barriers of loneliness and isolation? As Max Licardo says in that book we've been following, just like Jesus, how many of us already know the power of a godly touch given to us by someone else? The doctor who treated you, the teacher who dried your tears, the hand that held yours at a funeral, another on your shoulder during a time of trial and tribulation, a handshake of welcome at the door of the church, a pastoral prayer of healing. I could go on, but if we stop for a moment, we all know that we've been touched by people in those godly moments. How much more effective would our call to do something about our community be if we simply reached out and touched the community first? Touch is important and vital if we want to break down barriers. And I want to share with you a bit of my heart. I've got a picture. It's a bit fuzzy picture, but here it is. It's taken by me. It was on a bus and I was in India. And what you might just about be able to make out is the back of a very, very, very dirty, grubby, I think he was about five at the time, five-year-old disabled boy that I and some others on that bus, and you can see two or three of the people that went with me, that we'd been working with. We'd been visiting his mum in the slums for a long time. Anyway, this was his very first day of school, or going to school. Because I work with the Good News Education Trust, and the reality is part of what we were doing was trying to educate the people in the children in the slums, give them an education where he wouldn't ordinarily have got one because he's disabled. And as he's on the bus, and incidentally this bus is going along a dual carriageway in India, and you'll also notice there are no seatbelts, okay? But as we're going along the road, we suddenly discovered that this little boy didn't know how to play. That seems staggering. But you see, what use is play in the slums? So we had an idea. The only thing we could get over, he couldn't speak English, as you can probably imagine. And my Bengali, yeah, I can say hello. Is that okay? But about all. One of the things we discovered that he could copy that he'd seen was his mum making tea, making a meal for the family. So I gave him my hat. That's my hat, the sort of beige blob. And he is going up and down the bus, playing, pretending to make tea for everyone. Now, here's where the touch thing comes in. Because he goes up and down the bus, and he's giving everything to everyone. And as you can see in that picture, he's rubbing it on his head and all that stuff. But he's out of the slums. So as he goes to reach out his hand to you, or to me in that case, you can see, crawling through the hat, of the lice and the insects. Do you reach out and touch him? Do you play with him? Or do you recoil? Suffice to say, BMS, in their best efforts, couldn't fumigate my hat enough to get rid of everything. It got destroyed. But friends, we need to dare to reach out with the heart of compassion as Jesus has. I'll never forget him, albeit by now he has to be twice the height. But in reality, I believe Jesus' compassionate heart overcomes any ceremonial consideration or religious boundary we might set up or have. It destroys them. And theologians would say, well, Jesus was acting in a way that was consistent with the Trinity. Just in case you wonder where I get that from, this is what theologians say. John 6:44 says, Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. In other words, brings them close, touches them. and I'll raise them up on the last day. And of course, as we were reminded by Philip right at the beginning of the service, we have that deep, intimate God experience in us called the Holy Spirit. Friends, in other words, our God, through every part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wants to touch us. Now, you can sit here thinking, that's very nice, isn't it, for Jesus? He was faced with a leper. We don't have many lepers in Minehead. Oh, yes, we do. They're just called social lepers. After all, he was a special person, wasn't he? No, he was fully human as well as fully divine, so you are fully human as he was. God's own son, nonetheless, maybe it was easier for him. Well, friends, if that's your attitude, it's your attitude that needs to change. And I think there's a challenge. So I want you to imagine something for me here. If you get comfortable in your seat for me, you know the listening with mother moments, are you sitting comfortably? Can you just look round you for a minute for me and just see who's around you? Okay, if they're good looking, linger. If they're not, come back. I want you to imagine, it's 9:40 on Sunday the 27th of January 2019. In other words, it's a bit earlier in this day. And you come into church, and your seat, the seat where you are now, where you want to sit, is free. But sitting in the seat next to you, however good looking the person was that you've just looked at, is a chap. And he looks down and out. He's definitely not done up in his Sunday best. He's half asleep. You think he's on something, maybe drug or drink. As you approach, the smell gets worse. What are you going to do? Are you going to think, it's 9:40, the reason I chose that time, there's lots of other spare seats in the church, I'll go there? Or are you going to think, actually, this is a problem I need to pass off quickly to Paul or one of the leadership? Or are you going to stand a distance away and shout and try and rouse him? Or are you going to go and sit close enough so he can hear and hope he wakes up? Or will you dare to sit next to him and touch him on the shoulder and ask him what the problem is? I wonder, if you were being honest with yourself, what you would actually do or have done this morning. If there's an answer, perhaps, with the exception of moving to another part of the church, this is not the answer. It's probably that we would do all of the above, wouldn't we? Tell a leader, tell Paul, go be with him. One of the best bits of compassion I have ever seen was in a small church. It wasn't a church that I was, my home church, I was a visiting preacher. And this chap came in, and he was soaked through the skin. And he said to the person at the door, I would love to come and worship with you, but I don't know if I'm welcome. I've only got the stuff I'm standing up in. I've been sleeping rough. And this is what she said, and I thought, that's amazing. She said, sleeping rough, where? Old Tompkins Field or something. She said, God, it was raining last night. He went, yeah, I want to move on, but my tent's wet. This is what she did. She said, tell you what, why don't you bring your tent in? We'll spread it out over the chairs. It can dry while we worship. That, friends, is compassion. That's the Jesus compassion we're talking about. Because what will define us as a church is not whether we preach the gospel, not whether we tell him who Jesus is, or not just that, but rather whether we're prepared to reach out and touch him with the compassionate heart of Christ. It may be difficult, awkward, or messy, but we need to do it. And what do you think of this quote? A heart of compassion, just like Jesus, does not speak up. It recognizes a fellow human being in need. It does not just speak up, it speaks out. It does not just speak up, it acts as it uses you and me to reach out and touch. What do you think of that? You don't have to sit in silence. Do you like that? Good quote. No, it's mine, and I'm really pleased I wrote it, actually. Because, friends, it's what I think God is saying to this church about the heart of compassion he wants to put here. And I've put it in words for you. And it will be on the small group notes for those of you that get those as they get sent out today or tomorrow. But bless you for comparing me with Mother Teresa. Very kind of you. That's what we're called to do, isn't it? Those three stories in different ways. Jesus reaches out in compassion. That's what we're called to do. Touch the world. Show the world kingdom values. So what stops us doing it then? I think I have an answer. I think it's one word, and it's fear. Fear that we'll be rejected. Fear that we'll do something wrong. Everything wrong. Fear that we will say something wrong. That what I do, say, be and are is simply wrong, and I fearful for it. But if you see, as he says in a book, from the perspectives of the lepers, the lonely, the destitute, the outcast, then frankly they're not that picky or finicky about whether or not you get things right. And I have his permission to use this. You will see him. He tells me, incidentally, Lorraine, John says him and Lorraine are going to come and visit us in a couple of months. I've got his permission to use his story, okay, because this is his story. I first met a friend of mine called John. He's an ex-guardsman. He's 6'6" tall. And he's a big lad. I first met him when I'd literally been a pastor for a month. And John, in his own words, was a broken individual. What had happened was his 17-year-old son, he had two sons, his younger son, who was 17, had gone out one evening, taking his friend back from playing snooker, and he'd wrapped his car around a tree and died. And bluntly, friends, we as a church had no idea how to respond. But one of the ladies said, we should take every flower in this place and put them on the doorstep with a sign that says, we're here to help. We're praying for you. And it'd be lovely, Paul, if you put your phone number on it. And that's what happened. A day or two later, he rang me. And he said, I need someone who can make sense of what's going on. I want to talk to you about the funeral. Come round. So I went round. And the first thing, this is absolutely what happened, the first thing when I got through the door is he said, there's a beer. Come share a beer with me. Now, if you don't like ministers that drink, this isn't the story for you, okay? There's a beer, come share a beer with me. And we sat down, and he tells me what's going on. And I tell him, I haven't got all the answers for you. I don't know. And I've got to tell you, friends, before I went, I was fearful. How would I say the right words? Lord, what do I do? The reason I tell you the story is because as he is telling me what is in his heart, he starts to cry. And so I simply went and put my arm around his shoulders and sat with him. And then he stood up and he said, I need a hug. And I hugged him. And I asked John, what was it about that time together that meant that, praise be, he started coming to church and he's thinking about baptism now, hallelujah, about following his Lord, and he would consider himself a Christian. What was it, John? His words. It wasn't your clever words because you didn't have any, did you? What it was that you came. And he said this, as I sobbed, tears came to my eyes. I remember I apologized for crying. And I remember you thanked me for the privilege of letting you hug me. That's compassion. Fear nearly overcame me. Compassion drove me on. What about you? What do you think about Jesus could use you in this way? I invite you this morning, dear friends, to reach out. And as you reach out to Jesus, the one who broke the chains of isolation for the leper, ask him to give you a heart of compassion so that you and I can reach out and touch community, break chains that bind and isolate, so that many in his name, that we touch in his name, will be restored in his name. And all may come and worship his name. I invite you, dear friend, to come before your Lord this morning and ask him once again to fill you with compassion, his compassion, to change your heart to a heart of compassion, to let it be touched as his heart is touched, to be healed, to be broken as his heart is broken. And dear church, I invite you, I dare to invite you, to reach out to this community and touch it with the heart of compassion too. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the gift of your Son and the example of compassionate love he gave. I pray that we may love with a heart of love. But more than that, that love may overflow into compassion, and the compassion may reach our community, heal our community, and bring our community to know their risen Holy Lord. I start, Lord, on a personal note where I began, and say with these issues where the enemy has had so much of his own way in this town in the past, today is the day we say, this far and no further. And to you, Lord, be all glory, honor, power, and praise, world without end. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.